is an unrehearsed interview with Mrs. Points of 425 Beechwood, Maysville, Kentucky, on May 9th, 1987. The interviewer is Lynn David.
Now we can just visit and have a good time. You say you're 88 and you'll be 89 in August?
14th of August.
August 14th, my. You've lived a lot of years then, haven't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Seen a lot coming and going, and a lot of changes.
Yes.
Where were you born?
Maeslick, two doors from the Second Christian Church.
Who were your parents?
John Wesley Anderson and Carrie Williams Anderson.
Were they both from Maeslick?
Well, around. They lived in the country. But I was born in town, and the other children were born. My sisters were all born in the country.
How many were there? How many children did they have?
Well, they had three more girls.
What were their names?
Fanny was next to me, Frances, but they always called her Fanny. And Geraldine, she's still living. And Elizabeth was the baby girl. Then they had a little boy, and he didn't live to be only 18 months old. That's all the children had. I only had a little brother for just a short time.
So you were the oldest then?
I was the oldest.
So you had a lot of responsibility as being an oldest.
Yes, I had to take care of a lot of them. I carried them on my hip when I would carry them until I was kind of, I don't know, my mother said one hip was higher than the other or something. And she used to say I didn't look right until she, my mother was a seamstress. And of course she made her clothes. And she said the dresses didn't fit right, but I never did see anything wrong, and I never liked to wear a corset. And to this day, I don't wear corsets.
I think you're smart.
Don't wear gubbies. And
was your grandparents from around Maeslick too?
My grandmother, my mother's mother, was a slave. She was born in slavery.
Do you know her name?
Sarah Williams. She married Williams. I don't know what her last name was. I was told she was the daughter of the slave master.
Do you know who that was?
No. Don't know who that was. And she lived with us.
Well, she did. Did she ever tell you stories about?
Yes, and she couldn't read and write, but she had a little book. She lived in the big house. She didn't live with the slaves out. She called it the big house. And she would tell us all about that. And she had letters in this book. She would say A-B-A-B, E-B-A-B, I-B-A-B, and all of those vowels and things when we were little children. I know she would sell them. And she was an awfully good cook. So we learned to cook, all of us girls.
Did Sarah then cook at the big house? Was that her job, you suppose?
Well, I don't know when she started to cook and whether she cooked before she left there or whether she cooked after she married, but she must have learned it in slavery because most of her cooking was, you know, old time cooking.
Good cooking.
Yes, it was good cooking. And we had black pots, you know, to cook it.
Yeah.
And she would cook in these old black pots, and I'm telling you, she could make the best rolls. In a long black pan and a sauce we used to call dip. And she'd make this sauce that would go over it. I'm telling you, it almost make you swallow your tongue.
Did you know how to make the sauce? Did you ever learn?
Well, not exactly, but my father cropped, and I had a blackout or something, then the patch, I had a sunstroke. And so he told me to stay home and do the cooking, and he'd take the younger girls.
Yeah.
And I never got to go back to the tobacco patch then. And Mama turned all the cooking over to me, and then I had to do
cooking. Did your grandmother Sarah teach you then how to do it?
Yes, she would tell me how. And then I got to the place that Mama didn't do cooking. She just turned it over to me. Of course, Mama had learned from her mother, and then from Grandma and Mama together, I learned from both of them.
Now, was your mother born a slave?
No.
Or that she was born after?
Yes. My mother, I don't know where she was born, but she lived in grandmother's house. She and my daddy lived in grandmother's house. And then when they bought a house, and my grandmother moved in with them, that's when I done the cooking. We were living in Mama and Daddy's house, and Grandmother was living with us then.
Did you ever know her, Sarah's husband, your grandfather?
No, I never knew him, but I knew Uncle Noah because he would come to our house.
No, that was her brother?
That was my grandfather's brother. And they were half white. And my father's people, I never knew my grandfather or my grandmother on my daddy's side. They said my grandmother was part Indian and my grandfather was part Scotch-Irish. And I had red hair and freckles when I was little. And they used to ask me where I got my red hair. I said, my daddy said it. Well, my daddy said it was it. And none of the other girls, they never had red hair freckles.
You're the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Did Grandmother Sarah ever tell you any other any stories about growing up or things that she remembered? Or?
Well, she used to tell how they used to want to sing, but they would have to, they couldn't make a lot of noise because they, you know, they had to keep quiet. They weren't allowed to make a lot of noise, the servants. Of course, she wasn't a real servant because she never got to mix with them to do, never mixed with them very much. So they taught her how to sew. She was a pretty good seamstress. And she done a lot of piece and quilts and things like cooking and piece and quilts she was really good at. And she taught me how to piece and quilt. And then my mother was good at piecing and quilting. My mother made this thing behind me.
I was wondering, that looks old, but it's so pretty.
Yeah, my mother made that before she did.
What's the pattern's that called?
Yo-yo.
Yo-yo pattern.
That's a yo-yo.
All different colors in it. So the house servants didn't mix with the field servants at all, at least wherever your grandmother Sarah lived.
No. She was kind of kept away from the other slaves, you see. So we didn't know too much about slavery.
Yeah.
And of course, my grandfather on the daddy's side, he was at war with whatever war that was. He was in that war.
The Civil War?
I guess that's what that war. Was, the war
yeah.
he would be in.
You don't know which side he fought for, the North or
no.
the South?
No, I don't know.
Did your dad ever say anything about his folks?
Oh, yes. His father, they said, used to take me to the store when I was little. But see, I didn't know nothing about that. I was too little.
Did you know but, his name?
Let's see, what was Grandpa's name? I think his name was George because Daddy's brother, I think, was named for him, George Anderson.
So he'd take you to the store?
Yes, they didn't live very far from Joe Manley's store, they said, was out about Sardis, seemed like they lived out of Mount Sargis. After I got to be big enough to walk, they moved to the country from where I was born. They didn't live in town. And that's where my sister was born. I was 2 years old when she was born. I'm 2 years older than she was.
Where did you live out in the country?
Well, it's out, they said, out close to Needmore. You know where that is?
Yeah.
Out there? Sardis, out
there. Out in there.
Out in there somewhere.
So most of your life you grew up outside of Maze Lake then, out in the country.
Well, I don't remember living there. That was when I was a little. We were living with Grandma, at Grandma's place, is when I remember. And that was between Maze Lake and, we wasn't very far from Johnson Station, you know.
Yeah.
Grandma lives back, had a little farm back there. And that's where we moved from to where Daddy, Mom and Daddy bought. And then Grandma moved in with us. And that home burned after I married. That home burned, and me and Mom and Dad, and of course the rest of the girls, they just moved around until they moved into Mason. I didn't move into Mason until after my husband died. You see, I lived on Sargis Pike then.
Road train?
Yes.
We got our stuff on the road. Well, you were talking about growing up as a child, and you'd had a heat stroke in the tobacco field.
Yes, I got too hot. And now I don't go out in the hot sun. And I wear sunglasses. They told me to wear sunglasses when I go out.
Yeah. How old were you when that happened? Do you remember?
Well, I must have been in my teens because I was old enough to do the cooking at home.
Yeah.
And without any help. Mama would let me do it.
What do you remember about your mama?
Oh, I don't remember. Mama, after she moved down here to Maysville, she done a lot of sewing. She would sew for people. They'd bring in the material, and she used to make dresses for a lot of ladies that liked homemade dresses.
What kind of a lady was your mom? Was she tall,
yes,
short?
She was tall. She had light hair.
Was it brown or red?
No, it was, hers was kind of light curly hair. I don't know. Silky.
Did your mama like to laugh a lot? Or?
Yes, and then she liked to talk. Oh, I'm telling you, she could just talk your right arm.
What'd she like to talk about?
Well, she liked to talk about the Bible a lot of times. I'm telling you, she read that Bible through 5 times. And she would talk to people. They'd come along, they lived out on 4th Street. Had a little bench that set out in the yard. She'd sit there, and anybody come along and stop and talk to her, well, she would just talk. They'd come in and sit down on the bench beside her, and she would talk, and she'd bring up something in the Bible, and she'd talk, and she'd talk. But she was a good
Christian. Where'd she learn to read? I mean, you said your grandmother couldn't read.
Well, she went to school and got enough education to teach one time. And I don't know what she said happened that time. They was going to let her teach.
Where?
I don't know. Well, it must have been Maze Lake because that's where they was living, close to Maze Lake in her day.
Could your father read?
No. But Mama could. Mama was real bright. She read a lot. And that's the reason she could talk. She kept up with it. And she just knew what was going on, and she'd talk about that. She just loved to talk about the Bible. talk about that with anybody that won't listen to her. And if they would listen to her, she would just tell them from one end to the other.
Did a lot of people come around then to talk to her about the Bible?
Well, there wasn't too many of them would come around to talk about the Bible, but she had a lot of people that would come around because they liked her. She was so friendly, and she had a lot of friends. She had a lot of friends.
What kind of man was your dad?
Well, my dad, Mama said, in his younger days, he was, now, my father didn't go to no church when I joined. He still hadn't joined church. And then, after I joined church, he joined Baptist church. And of course, I had joined over to
Christian church.
Christian church. And, of course, Mama, of course, had belonged to the Christian church for years. That's where she had belonged. I'd gone to Sunday school with her all of my days because that's the only one would take me to Sunday school. But Daddy did. But he was awful good to us. And we called him Mr. Johnny.
You called him Mr. Johnny? How'd that start?
I don't know. And he used to fry the fish when they would have homecomings up to the Baptist church. And he said, "Miss Johnny, you're going to give us a sandwich?" And the people would say, "John, I thought they were your children." "They are." "Why are they doing calling you Miss Johnny?" "Do it all the time," he said. "Said they do it all the time." And we did. We just called him Miss Johnny. And we didn't call him that at home, though. We called him Daddy when we wanted him at home. We just say, "Miss Johnny, Miss Johnny, you going to give us a fish sandwich?" He fixed us a fish sandwich. And
he have a good sense of humor, too, like your mama?
Yes.
They ever tell you how they met?
No. I don't know where Mama was living when that happened. I don't know where she said they was living. It seems like his brother, George, the oldest one, his brother George, Uncle George was older than Daddy. But he married Aunt Pearlie, and she was next to Mama.
Oh, so they were sisters?
Sisters, married brothers.
And what was their maiden name again?
Williams.
Williams.
Uh-huh. Grandma married the Williams. So.
So you were really closely related then, weren't you?
Yeah. Aunt Pearlie and Uncle George both. And Pearlie's Mama's sister and Uncle George was Daddy's brother.
Now, was your mother as light-skinned as you are?
Yes, she was. Now, she told of riding on the train. We didn't live very far from Helena Station. Mm-hmm. When they bought this home, we were about a mile because we used to walk down there to a grocery store to Helena Station from our house, which was just about a mile. And you could go down there and catch a train. Of course, the train ran past the station. And she said she was coming in on that train one time, and she got in this covered coach because that's where we had to ride. And said the conductor come in and told her, "What are you? White or colored?" She said, "I'm neither one." Says, "I'm not white and I've never been colored." You went out and left her alone. She was in the colored coach. But there had been some dark colored girls. I don't know whether they were foreigners or something. And they had put him in the college course, and they had sued him. And he was afraid maybe he's going to get sued when he was trying to get her out. And she used to tell us that. Said, she told him, I'm neither one. I'm not white.
Did your mother ever try to pass as white?
No, no. And none of it makes me so mad when they call me white. And my daughter always tells me, said, if you want to make Mama mad, said, you call her white or half white. And said, oh. I had a woman one time to tell me, why don't you go away from me so you could pass for white? I said, what do I want to pass for white for? I'm just as good as any white person. I said, as long as you're a good person. I said, your color don't make no difference.
No, it sure doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It's your person and what you do and what you are. I said, color doesn't have anything to do with it at all.
It's too bad more people don't know that, isn't it?
Well, you can't make them believe it.
No.
You can't make them believe it. No, can't make them believe it. Now, I rode all the way from Dayton one time. I had a round trip ticket to Dayton from Cincinnati to a convention. And when I come back, I didn't have to stop in Cincinnati to get it. I just went to the train. Didn't have to stop in the station. Mm-hmm. I just went to the train. And the conductor told me which way to turn. Well, when I turned there, I found myself in the white coach. Well, I just went on and sat down. And I was awful tired because I'd been there all week at this convention. And I sat down in this seat. And I heard the conductor say to the woman that come in behind me, she's in the wrong coach. And that woman said, well, now, it's not her fault. Said the conductor told her to come in here and said she come in here and sit down. She's not bothering nobody. What are you fussing about? Well, she's in the wrong coach. She ain't got no business in here. And that woman took up for me because...
Did you know the woman?
No. I just know she was behind me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And she said, now she's not bothering us. So I just sat back in there and listened to them talk and rode right on into Mesa.
And the train didn't blow up or anything, did it?
No, I rode right on into Mesa.
It's real funny that way.
Yes, I rode on paper. My sister, she came in day ahead of me. And she said, when they put her in the white coach, she said, I had the terriblest time of finding where I had to go. I said, where'd you have to go? I had to go where we belong. I said, you belong wherever the man tells you to go. I did. I said, I'm glad you wasn't with me. You'd have me all over that train. She said, I walked. I said, yes, you got to get up there close to that engine because that's where you was going. And she said, I found where I was supposed to go. She said, it was all right. Said, he just put me in the wrong place. I said, well, he put me in the wrong place too. I reckon the man said I was, but I heard him talking about me. But I said, I just sat in there and rode. I never done nobody no harm. And I done what the man told me to do. The conductor didn't have nothing to do with that. Mm. He was on the inside. The man on the outside is what told me to go.
Now, growing up in Maeslick, did you find any prejudice among your friends that you ran around with?
No.
Or any teasing about your red hair and freckles?
No, not at all. Now, when I was growing up, I didn't have no trouble at all. It's just since I've been grown and going around different places where...
People keep telling you're in the wrong spot, huh?
Yes, and calling me half white and all that kind of stuff, which makes me awful mad. And old white woman and all that kind of stuff. And it's very insulting because I can't help about my color. I was the brightest one of the children in the family, but I couldn't help that. Now, my father wasn't real bright, maybe, but he had freckles and red hair. My mother was real fair, and she had light hair. And I took the hair and freckles after Daddy and the color after my mom.
Okay, now you said, when we talked on the phone, that you and your mama and your other sisters belonged to the First Christian Church in Maeslick?
No. Mom and Aunt Pearlie joined up there. And my grandchildren were baptized up to the church because we didn't have a baptistry. And we had student ministers that used to come over from the First Christian Church and preach for us. And then they would baptize over to the First Church because they preached over there too. And they would baptize over there. And then one of my grandsons, the preacher was getting ready to leave when he joined, and he made arrangement with the pastor down here at Maysville. And one of my grandsons was baptized down here at First Church
in
Maysville. One of my grandsons was baptized down here.
Now, when did the church, Second Christian Church form in Maeslick? Do you remember?
Over 100 years ago. It's over 100 years old. The minister at First Christian Church is going to, he's going to have the program for us.
Reverend Ed McCurley.
The 24th.
Yeah.
He's going to have that. And they can get it from up there because they've got a lot of the history when there was no Second Christian Church.
We all went together in one church.
And they went over there. And then they gave them the lot, I'm told, where the church is built now, where the Second Christian Church is built now. And the members then, back in that day, built this Second Christian Church. And that was before my time, of course. Long time.
So you've been an active member then?
Ever since I was 12.
In the Second Christian Church.
I've been more than that before I was 12, but I've been belonged to it ever since I was 12. But I went to Sunday school there with my mother up until I joined. I know one Sunday the pastor said he wanted all the members to well, you know how before you go to church you don't eat anything and wait till you get back home. And mama said, well, I said, that's just for the members of the church. I said, well, I want to do it too. She said, oh, no, now he didn't mean for children. He said, I said, well, I want to too. And I wouldn't eat nothing till I got back home. We would live a long ways from church when we walked. It was 3 miles, but we would go across the field and didn't have to. It wasn't quite 3 miles when we went across the field. And I know I went with Mama that Sunday, and I didn't eat anything till I got back home. Do with the feast. Fast, that's what they call it. Fast.
So that
come
was,
to church.
That was it's not the practice anymore, is it? Or
no,
is it?
No, I never hear of it anymore. Yeah. No, nobody does that anymore.
Good, because I thought maybe I'd miss something.
No, that was way back. That's way back.
Was there always a good crowd at the Second Christian Church?
Yes, used to be, but anymore. If it wouldn't be for my family, I don't believe it would have any. I'll show you the picture when Brother Smith was there. This is one Sunday morning. Now, most of them are my family. Now, that's all we had.
Well, there sure are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 members.
Well,
12 people there.
Now, that's not my family.
No,
that's not my
that's
family.
Mrs. Galt, and that's Mrs.
Combs.
Combs.
And this is Mrs. Cross.
Yeah.
Now, the rest of them's all my family. This is my son and his children.
Good looking family.
And this is me and And my sister there somewhere. That's my sister.
Changed at the church. Have they changed very much over the years, or did you have a full-time minister when you were a little girl going there? Or?
Yes, we would have a full-time minister. We had a place for him to stay. The church would pay for somebody to keep a preacher for us. And then when I got married, we would take care of a preacher, my husband and I. My husband didn't belong to church when I married. That's my first husband. See, I was married to George Washington first, and that's the father of all the children. And when my baby girl, that's a picture of my baby girl, the big picture of her.
She's a pretty lady. What's her name?
Carolyn. And that's what we the girl. And she was the last one of my children to join church. But I said, we would take care of the preachers. And then George, Mama was the cause of him belonging to the Christian church. His people were all Baptists. And he said, I thought I would join the Baptist church. When I joined the church, Mama said, well, you have a family now. I had the oldest child there. And we just had the one child when he joined. And he said, I thought you would join with the Bible. I hadn't thought about that. He said, I thought I'd join with my people. He said, well, you're starting a family of your own now. You ought to talk. He did. And they ordained him as an officer. So he was officer of the church. Then the oldest son was officer of the church. Then the next son was an officer of the church. And see?
Very prominent in the church.
Yes. And now I've got one son taking us to church now. And if it wouldn't be for him taking me and my sister to church, I don't know who would be there. Because there's two other women depending on him, too, to take them.
And he's a good
and
son to go.
They wanted us to put a membership in down here since we live down here. And I said, as long as the church door is open out there, I'm going out there. That's what my mother's sister used to say about the cornerstone. She said, if the church is gone, I'll worship at the cornerstone, she said. Worship is the cornerstone. And they was baptized and belonged up to the first church until they got a church. I guess I'll be going as long as anybody will take me out there. And then I was ordained as a deaconess, and I guess I'll have to do my part as long as I'm able to do it.
Well, it looks like that'll be a long time.
I don't know. This old knee, don't let me do too good walking. That's my trouble, walking. Now, Doc said my sugar's been all right the last two times. I have to go out there about every 8 weeks for a checkup on my sugar. And everybody says they don't see how I stay on my diet like I do. They said they couldn't do it. I said, you could do it. My sister said, you haven't had a piece of transparent pie, a piece of jam cake for, well, about 3 years now. I said, well, that don't make a difference. I'm still living at them. I said, it don't hurt me. Don't hurt me to go without it.
You're better off, probably.
Yes, because I can't have sugar. I use equal to sweeten. I get along just fine.
How'd you and your sisters get along growing up?
Oh, we got along, well, there's one kind of bossy one, but I didn't pay much attention to her. She would like the boss telling me how to do and everything. That's the one that passed. You see the three of us over there?
I saw that picture.
Yeah. That is three of us. Well, one of them. Of course, our baby sister, we lost her several years ago. And then there was just the three of us. They called us the bosom sister. You see all them big bosoms? We got the bosom sister. So I had to lose a lot of weight because I had too much weight when I started sugar.
Did your mama grow a garden, and did you all can and put up everything you used?
After I married, I canned everything. My husband one time brought in one washing tub full of blackberry.
Oh.
On 4th of July.
On 4th of July? I think I shot him.
On a holiday, can you believe that?
Did you all celebrate holidays as a little girl?
Yes, we, the Christmas was the main thing.
How'd you celebrate Christmas?
Well, we slept upstairs, and Daddy always had Santa to bring a horn.
A horn.
And he would come to the foot of the stairs and blow this horn when it was time to get up. We'd put in our break our necks getting down the stairs.
What would you find?
Well, each night we put out a chair and put our shoe beside this chair. There's four girls of us. And we put that. And each one run to his chair to see what was there. And then, if they didn't like theirs, they'd go see, try to get somebody else, and they'd say, now you better Santa didn't put that there for you. I can remember.
What kind of gifts would you usually find on your chair and your shoe?
Well, my baby sister, she got the gifts that, cuddly gifts. And I don't know what the name of that cuddly was that time, but I know Mama sat and held it about all day. I said, Mama, you like that gift better than...
What was it? When you say cuddly, a doll of some sort?
Yes, a bear or something like that. But it was Cuddles. Yes, I believe his name was Cuddles. And she said, yes, I just like to hold it. Just like to hold it, she said. But I know one time, and Daddy said, well, we all had nicknames. It, mine was It. My name was Izetta, and he just never called me that. He called me It. I think Santa left something out in the hall for you. And I went out there, and there's this trunk. It's over under my sister's porch now, a trunk. When I moved up here, I had nowhere for it. And so I put it up under, of course, she owns her home on Fifth Street. So I got a trunk.
What'd you do with your trunk?
It's up under the...
No, I mean, what'd you do with it as a little girl? Was it to put all your things in, or your clothes, or what?
After I married, I took it down to my house and kept things in it. But I would hide my things away in it because, you see, I could put my things in there and nobody could get in. Nobody could get in.
Did you all have a Christmas tree?
All the time. And our living room, we didn't have a place to have a fire. And we could put that tree back in there and leave it till Easter.
Oh, you left it till Easter?
Yeah. We just wouldn't tear down the tree till Easter. We just moved the tree out of the bedroom back in there. We had to have it in the bedroom because Christmas was cold. We had great fires in the other room. And we had to, yes. So we had to have that tree. It would stay back in that room.
What kind of decorations would you put on your tree?
We had bells, and we had little bells, and then we had little china things. Well, we had old-time decorations. My sister's got some in a double boiler. She's got one of these double boilers that's got a tin top that fits on. You've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a lot of antique things in that. I moved around a lot since I come to Mason, and I've got rid of an awful lot of my things, and I sold a lot of my antique things. I had to. I just had to get rid of it. Yeah.
Did you have a big family dinner then at Christmas?
Oh, yes, they had a big family dinner, and Daddy always went to Lexington and got whiskey, and he always give us a little toddy. Christmas, we could have a little toddy. My baby sister, she would sip hers, and he said, "Now, don't you go sipping, that'll make you drunk." She said, "I want to get drunk." I want to get drunk. Yes, she wanted to get drunk. She liked it. She was like it. But you know, I never drank, and I never smoked, and I never danced. I never done none of those things when I grew up.
The Christian church wasn't against dancing.
No, it wasn't against it, but you see, we never got to go any place like other girls. Daddy did let us go, well, he took us one time to one girl's party out in the country. Seemed like they had a little dancing or something going on, but I never learned how to dance. But all my sisters danced, they all smoked, they all drank, because they come down here to Maysville and went to work at the warehouse and thing. I was married at that time. Yeah. Raised in my own family. And so I got left out on the dancing and on the drinking and on the smoking and everything. I never got to do none of that. And I said, I'm just better off without it, because maybe that's the reason I'm living so long.
Could be. You've been so pure and good.
I never had none of that stuff. And I don't miss it, because I don't know nothing about it.
I'm sorry.
Well, here come my son and daughter-in-law. Daddy told me to go out in the hall, that Santa had left something out in the hall for me. And it was that trunk of mine. That was my last Christmas, I remember, of getting Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. How old were you?
Oh, I was about 14, I think.
Mm-hmm. I asked her what she'd done with the trunk. I mean, you know, you got a trunk, but uh-huh. She said she hid things in it.
Yes. I could hide my things away in it.
Yeah.
And then I moved it after I got married from out to Mama's down to my house. But then I left a lot of my Christmas thing, toys and dolls and things, was going to come back and get them later. And they burned up because, the home burned when you was a baby.
Yeah.
Did your family celebrate Thanksgiving or Easter?
Yes. Mama always made fruitcakes for holidays.
Ones that sat a long time and soaked?
It always make them early and then put them away and let them soak, as you say. Yeah. 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 And they were good.
Did you have all the family come in during a holiday?
As many as would.
Who's that?
He got a pencil?
So
holidays were a big occasion.
Yes, it was. And Mama had a sister that lived away from home. And we thought it was grand when she was going to come. She lived down in Cincinnati.
What was her name?
Her name was Amanda. And that was my grandmother's baby girl, Mama's baby sister. And we thought when Aunt Amanda comes, well, Christmas is going to be grand.
She come down on the river packets, or did she?
She come up on a train.
On the train.
And train, I told you, you know, was down to Helena.
Yeah. What was the name of that store at Helena Station? Do you remember?
I don't know who ran that store. I don't know. It was a store and a post office all together. And we used to, when we would send orders off, we would have to take them down there, money orders, and send for things. We used to order a lot out of catalogs because we lived in the country and couldn't get the store. And then, of course, we'd always go down there when we was coming to Maysville, catch that train to ride down to Maysville.
Did your dad always share crop then?
Yes, he always cropped.
Yeah, they called it cropped. Who all did he work for? Do you remember?
Well, Mr. Finch. And our lot joined Mr. Finch's lot. After our home burned, Mr. Finch bought it.
Okay, by the house or?
You know, Mr. Finch owned a lot of fields.
Yeah.
Well, his field lot run right up joining to the lot that Daddy owned. And then after the house burned on this lot, the Daddy sold this lot. And Mr. Finch bought it.
And Mr. Finch then bought that.
And that just went into his
field.
We used to see James Mitchell Finch riding with his grandfather. And he would see us playing out there. You'd see John Anson's little girls. Them's John Anson's little girls.
Mm-hmm. You know, I interviewed Mr. Finch yesterday.
You did? He could have told you something about us.
Well, I didn't know y'all knew each other. I should
have.
Oh,
you didn't?
Oh, yeah,
well, Mama's sister, Mama's oldest sister, she was working for him when he was born.
Now, what was her name?
Alice Banion.
Your sister?
Alice Banion was Mama's
oldest sister.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And she was working for Mr. Finch when James Mitchell was born.
Well, next time I see him, I'll tell him I saw you. Mm-hmm. I probably will come back and talk to you some more, too, at another time. And I'll see him again. Mm-hmm. It takes several times to do this.
What does they call it? Banion's Ridge?
Banion's Hill.
Banion's
Hill.
Hill.
And see, Banion's used, or Banion's, it was old Banion's, but they just called him Banion.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Charlie Banion married Mama's sister. And they lived in one of the houses on Banion Hill. And this house that Daddy bought was the biggest house there was on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Had more rooms than any of them. Mama and Daddy bought it.
They, what'd they do, just buy the house and a lot around it?
Yes, and a lot, and they had a corn crib, and they had a hen house, and they had a pond, and had a meat house, and they had a cistern, and they had more than most of the people on the hill because most of them come up there to get water.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
They didn't have water at these other houses going on down.
Do you remember any of your neighbors that lived around there?
Yes, Ms. Dotson, and let's see, what was the other thing?
You know, which Dotson?
I don't know what the first names were. And Mrs. Middleton, and Miss Mayor Hoppins. She worked for Clark's, Mr. John Clark. Where Mama, I told you, Mama quilted the quilts for those girls.
Now, your mother showed me the old quilts. They're just beautiful. If you all don't do something with them, you ought to be shot.
Well, that's true, because that was truly her full-time hobby, I guess.
Mama, yes, she just sewed all the time and quilted and things. She never went out to work for nobody.
I remember two things very vividly. I remember two things very vividly about her.
What?
And that is that always working on them quilts, and all she had, I don't know how many insurance.
Paid insurance for all of them.
5-10 cent policies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I used to say that she had them to try to convert these people into Christianity, because she had read the Bible through and through backwards.
Five,
I don't know how many times. Yeah.
She said five.
And she was very, very pleasant to talk to. And every time she would, one of those agents would come, well, she would just like she'd just swarm you. She naturally she would speak and talk about what a pleasant day it was, and
get that much
and how happy her life was, and how she was all filled up and everything. And then she'd have to ask him if he went to church last Sunday. And if he read the Bible, and if he knew anything about the Lord, and things like that. And some of them naturally would feel a little bit embarrassed or ashamed. Yeah. But I used to often say, well, I don't know whether she needs that insurance, or if that's just a way to contact people.
To get them interested.
And I said, I've never seen nobody with that many insurance agents come to her house to collect insurance before, and that had to be a reason.
Could have been.
Yeah.
So you remember your grandmother pretty well.
Oh, yeah. See, I came to live with her when I first started high school, because my daddy, he farmed too, and we lived out in the country. And I had to come to town to stay rather than to try to commute back and forth to high school, so I came to stay with her. And
were there a high school out at Maine's Lake? No,
things weren't integrated then.
No, I know, but I thought black school had.
They never had, when my mother and them went, they said that they had 2 years, I think.
What?
Didn't you say they had 2 years of high school in the school in
Charlotte? 2 years, and I didn't get to go because they hadn't built a high school. My sisters got to go to the 2 year high school, but I just got to go to the
But then they changed it back to just the eighth grade.
Oh, so that's when. Somebody else I talked to had to leave home to go to high school.
Yeah, most everyone in that vicinity came to Maysville, to John G. Feed.
Yeah.
High school here.
Even
Flemingsburg.
We had them out this year.
And they came down here even before they had a bus to come down here. They used to just, Professor White, I think he was the last principal at Fee.
Now you see.
And he was an agriculture teacher out there then, and he used to carry students in his car when he was teaching at Fee to high school.
Yes, Fanny come down to the clerk's office and took her examination.
She did?
Yeah.
To the county clerk?
Mm-hmm. That's where she took her examination.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about your family. How'd you meet your husband?
Well, let's see.
You said Mr. Washington?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What was his first name?
George.
George Washington. Mm-hmm. Where'd you meet George?
Well, George lived on Sardis Pike. And he used to come, and they had a habit of parking their, hitching their horses in the churchyard, back of the Christian church. Country boys.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk done it too.
Yeah.
Kirk.
Jim Kirk.
That was.
And of course, Jim Kirk went in it too. But
Jim Kirk went now?
But I say he used to go with me too.
Oh, okay.
But
thought that's what you said.
Well, she's trying to find out who Jim Kirk was.
Yeah.
My daddy's sister was married to Jim Kirk's brother.
Yes, Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, Charlie Kirk.
Okay.
Well, and we used to have suppers in the church because we didn't have a building. And we had a little table in the back of the church, and we'd have these suppers. Jim Kirk loved salmon croquettes. Mm. He called them Simons.
Mm.
Y'all go have any sign? Yes, we got some. I want them because I just, sometimes he would buy the whole plate. And then George would come and he would come want some. The different boys would come to buy something of what we'd have at the church. And so we would meet at the church. And then they would want to know if they could take your buggy ride.
Now, was this on what, on Saturday or
Saturday nights, mostly.
So then they'd ask if they'd take you for a buggy ride.
Sunday evenings, you can go take a buggy ride.
Your dad didn't mind, huh?
Well, he'd let us go to take a buggy ride, and then they'd come out to the house, and if it's warm and cold weather, we in the front room. When 9 o'clock come, Daddy would come to the door, say it's 9 o'clock, and boys would begin to scoot. me and my sister. There would be maybe one or two boys there. We'd be in there talking until Daddy says 9 o'clock, and then they would have to go. And then if there was something going on, sometimes they would come out and take us. There would be something going on up to the Baptist Church. We had different clubs that would have something going on because it was building this new school building then. And that's the high school, and they was trying to get money to do that. So we just went together that way a long time. And so I didn't take Jim Kirk because he used to drink.
Yeah. I remember when I was a child, they'd bring him in from Washington, Kentucky. He just had too much.
Feeling no pain, right?
And George didn't. So that's how come George got me.
Did George propose to you then in a formal proposal? Or?
Yes.
Did he ask your dad first?
No, he didn't.
What happened when you told your dad?
Well, Dad wasn't very much for it, but Mama called him in and he said, all right.
How old were you when you decided to get married?
Oh, I was about 20. Because I never got to go with no boys until I was 18 years old.
Was that usual for that time?
Well, not all mothers, but it was for me because, they never let me go out much. I had no boats.
So you were married when? And what year was that you got married?
I don't remember now, but I know Jim Kirk after that. After George died, he never did marry.
Oh, he didn't?
No. And after that, he asked me again. After George died, I turned him down again. I turned him down again. Because I said, after all, I couldn't have made it with him. I couldn't have made it the first time, I couldn't have made it the last time. And then after Carolyn, my youngest child graduated from high school. I had been going with this Points from out to Germantown 3 years. And so then I married him.
What was Mr. Points' first name?
Louis. Dimmitt.
Dimmitt?
Mm-hmm.
Now you said you had five children, right? Uh-huh. Can you name your five kids for me?
Yeah. John, first.
Yeah.
Elliot, next. Wilhelmina. Well, she goes by her second name now. They used to call her, her first name.
We never did use it.
You know, we always use Wilhelmina, mm-hmm. but she goes now by
Bernice.
So it was Bernice Wilhelmina?
Mm-hmm.
Jeanette.
Huh?
Bernice Wilhelmina Jeanette.
Yeah. Three names.
Yeah, because she used to put them initials.
Uh-huh.
When she was going to college, she put them initials. Yeah,
she's
BWJW. I never will forget that.
While you was in service, you sent me money, and I put her in college just 1 year, and then she come home married.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolyn and Charlie. Charlie first, and then Carolyn, the Carolyn's baby.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie is 5 years older than Carolyn.
How old was John when his father died?
16,
wasn't
right.
it?
16 years. Mm-hmm. So you really had your hands. I mean, you were old enough to help, but.
But there wasn't many of them old enough to stay on the farm.
Yeah.
I had to come to town.
It was her whole idea. My daddy had bought this farm. And
but he didn't, that man didn't let him keep it.
Well,
he wasn't going to let us keep it.
Well, the whole thing was the way he bought farms and things back there then.
Uh-huh.
If you could take the farm over and show some improvements and then pay some small payments until you get on your feet,
I couldn't
then you could take it over.
Yeah.
Well,